Welcome to the Renovating Australia podcast, where we'll take you on site with industry leaders, experts, and everyday people who've mastered DIY or are just giving it a go.
If you're starting a renovation, building a new house, or just looking for some inspo, we've got you covered.
Before we get started, everything we talk about on this podcast is general in nature and does not take into account your own personal situation. If you're looking to get advice, please seek the help of a licensed financial advisor or professional consultant.
So let's renovate Australia. Hey guys, and welcome back to the Renovating Australia podcast. I'm Katie Cordery and joined as always by my co-host, Alicia Chapman.
Hello guys.
Welcome back. So today we've got a bit of a different podcast. We're actually casting over a Zoom call, which is kind of cool. We have Jasmine from Timber and White, one of our all-time favorite Insta accounts. I don't think there's a post that I haven't liked yet of your account. Bit of a fangirl moment here. And yeah, we would love to welcome you to the show. So welcome aboard, Jasmine.
Thanks very much. It's so nice to be chatting with you. Likewise, obviously, I follow both of your accounts and I'm really keen to chat today.
No, it's always so much fun when you've got someone who you've been following for a while and you've seen their house. And for us now, just even in the background, being able to see your house behind you, it's like, oh, wow. Especially when ours are, well, mine is a work site. And so it's just like ultimate goals everywhere, which is really cool.
As with most, you know, we have pockets that are able to be seen and the rest are just kind of hidden from view from all Instagram shots.
Yeah, those strategic places.
I think I was seeing today actually in your kitchen, a little sneak peek of the kitchen. And when you put the country road tea towel on your thing, I was like, oh my God, I actually can't wait to do that. Like, I just don't buy nice stuff because there's no point in our house right now.
We are so like that. We actually, when we first started renovating, or before actually we even started when we were living in the house, I started buying nice things and like putting them away in the cupboard in boxes. And I recently pulled a bunch out and I was like, ew, like, what was I thinking? It's just funny how quickly, you know, you can get caught up in trends and that actually aren't really long lasting. And I was like, oh, all these things have tags still on them and I'm already not wanting them in the house.
And I guess to speak to that, Jasmine, where did you guys start on your reno journey? Like, how did Timber and White come together?
Timber and White as an Instagram page itself was more just to keep what I thought was going to be really boring renovation updates from my personal profile.
Yeah,
so, right. You know, we expected some friends and family maybe to follow along and that was about it. So I think I started it when we were on holiday once in Byron Bay because I was all of a sudden, of course, very inspired by all the amazing interiors there.
Of course, yeah.
And, you know, I was like, oh, I might just start sharing some of the photos that I took for inspiration or something just so I remember them and have them there. So it started from there. I think we had sort of kicked off our reno a little bit, but it was in the very early stages. The name, of course, just came about because when I looked at every single picture on my Pinterest account, it was all either timber or white or a combination of timber and white and a little bit of black, but you know, that didn't quite flow so well.
Yeah, no, that's so cool. And obviously, so you're up in beautiful sunny Cairns and I guess talk to us about the house. How did you come to find the house? Was this always sort of a goal of yours to find something to renovate or where did that journey start for you guys?
We definitely always planned on renovating. Both my husband and I work in construction and have worked primarily in new builds before. By seeing that process, I always knew I was never going to be someone that could build from scratch. Just because I feel like you have every option in the world when you build from scratch and I can't make a decision to save my life. So I figured if we were renovating that at least eliminated some of the decisions, like you've got pre-existing walls that you have to work with, like you've got sort of some parameters that are already set that takes away some of the decision making.
Yeah.
And obviously living in it while we're doing it and doing it ourselves means we can make decisions as we go. So that was really what drew us always to renovations. And then I guess in Cairns, as with most cities and urban spread and all of that, the areas we wanted to live in were all existing areas. There's no, you know, new developments, land that you can build on. But we actually bought our house while we were living in Perth. So we moved over there for a couple of years for a little sea change. We always knew we were going to come back here to settle eventually. So we'd been looking for quite a while. We found a house before this one, which we pulled out of the contract the day before settlement because
we freaked out.
it was just that whole situation where we were like so far away. It was our first house we were buying. It just seemed like a lot. And the day before, luckily the house had had like a tiny bit of termite damage, which was really nothing, but it gave us, you know,
something to
out.
Yeah.
Based on the building and pest. So we did that. And then we completely stopped looking because it had just kind of consumed us. And then the day that we started looking again about 6 months later, this house had just been listed that morning. So we felt really prepared because we'd been through the process before of making an offer, getting our finance, like doing the contract. We were ready. Like we were like, we have all our ducks in a row. We know exactly what to do. We know how to negotiate. We know how to do everything. So we called up our friend who lived around the corner and we were like, can you just go check it out and like make sure that it is what the photos say it is. We knew the area because we've lived in the suburb before. We had a very small pocket of where we knew we wanted to buy. So in terms of that, there wasn't any issues. It was just the house itself. Everything in Far North Queensland is built out of solid concrete block because we're cyclone rated. So generally, if you're buying a block house, it's solid. You know, like there's not much you need to worry about in terms of structure. Like an old Queenslander could have so much wrong with it. A solid block house, it is what it is. So there wasn't too much we had to worry about from that point of view. So yeah, we made an offer that afternoon and it got accepted the next day.
Amazing.
And then we celebrated and then we didn't move home for another year and a half. So
we kind of had
it there in the background. We had a tenant in here and then we moved home a little bit unexpectedly when we did, and we'd actually just re-signed our tenant for another year's lease. So we couldn't live in it for another year. Eventually, we got married, we went on our honeymoon and we moved in the day we got back, I think. So it was sort of that very symbolic, like starting our new life with our new house. Although I walked in the door the first day and it was the first time I'd ever been in it and I cried. It was so ugly.
My first words
were like, what have we done here? Like, why did we buy this house?
Oh my goodness.
So, yeah, it wasn't a great start, but you know, the walls were cream and orange and green and all of that. So the first thing we did was just like go to Bunnings and buy a crap load of white paint and just like threw it on every wall we could just as a temporary measure to make it like to start feeling like home so we could start getting it inspired for what we were going to do with it.
Oh my gosh, that is insane. How cool. And so is this going to be your forever home, do you think?
So that was one of the first decisions we obviously had to make, whether we were renovating it to flip or renovating it for ourselves, because there's a lot of things, you know, we'd do differently if it was going one way or the other. So we didn't make the decision straight away. We lived in here for about a year and a half before we even started renovating. And we just wanted to make sure, you know, we liked the area, we liked the block, we liked our neighbors kind of thing. And we loved everything. So after that, we did decide that it's somewhere we were happy to be sort of long-term, definitely not our forever home, but you know, the next sort of 10 years of our life we'd be happy to spend here. Yeah.
So good. And so you mentioned that you both work in construction, which I can imagine has huge advantages to it as well. What sort of areas do you guys work in?
So my husband is a qualified carpenter. He has a builder's license, which has allowed us to do our reno. At the moment, he sort of runs maintenance for a Australia-wide company and sort of looks after our area of Queensland. So he's not on the tools anymore. So I think he's loved being able to sort of pick up the tools at home, at least at the moment.
Yeah.
And myself, I've done quite a bit. I've been in construction since I finished school. Currently, I'm a contract administrator, which is the very boring side of construction. We procure materials, administer all the contracts, make sure no one's getting ripped off or all of that. I've worked from like project builders where we were smashing out like hundreds of homes a year to luxury builders where, you know, the average house was $3 to $4 million. Yeah. And commercial, where was my most recent job here in Cairns, where the company I worked for just built about $500 million worth of new hotels.
Wow.
So yeah, I've sort of seen a lot from like the very basic first home buyer's home to the complete luxury end of the scale. Hence why I get very overwhelmed with decisions, because I feel like I know almost every product on the market, from like the cheapest of cheap to the luxury options for everything and everything in between.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It would be like a blessing and a curse, but how good that you could like, gosh, I wish I had that knowledge, because when someone says to me, oh, it'll cost about this much, I'm like, huh? Yeah. All right. Like, yeah. I actually have no clue whether I'm in the right ballpark or they're completely ripping me off. Like, it's so good that you've got that knowledge behind you. And as a qualified builder as well, like to be able to sign this stuff off and just,
yeah,
rather than having to go through that whole process, that it's so cool.
Exactly. Definitely saved us money. And just being able to project manage it ourselves has been not only rewarding, but, you know, we have full control over everything, which I'm a control freak. I absolutely love that.
Oh, that is great. Oh my gosh. Okay. So let's dig into your reno so far. I think when I started following you, you were turning your garage into another room. So you were laying a new floor and popping all the insulation in. I was like, what? You need to put insulation in the floor? Like, I think, as I said, I learned so much just from following you. So, and it was about the same time we were doing a similar thing. So I was like, oh, cool. All right, I'll do that. Like, I just tick my boxes. But what have you guys done so far?
Well, that particular room is now our kitchen. So kitchen is in our old, we used to have a single garage, which we made that part of the house and we added on a new double garage on that side. So yeah, when everyone sees all these, you know, pictures of our kitchen coming together, that actually used to be our old single garage, which just had like a laundry tub and a hose plug for the washing machine at the back of it. Like, it was so bad, but it was the perfect size for a new kitchen. So
yeah.
Oh my gosh. So, and did you have that vision early on? Like, did you know that's what you wanted to be the kitchen from when you started the project?
Yeah, definitely. We always had, from the moment we looked at the house before we even put an offer onto it, what drew us to it was in the middle of our block. So we knew we had options to extend in every direction, which is exactly what we wanted to do. So we've actually doubled the size of our floor plan. Originally, the house was a 3-bedroom, 1-bathroom, single garage house, and it's now a 4-bedroom, 2-bathroom, double garage. So we added on 120 square meters of floor space to that. And we knew from the very start pretty much exactly what we were going to do, apart from like finer details, just because without seeing it in person, we kind of had to make those plans off the floor plan initially, because otherwise, why were we buying it, you know?
Yeah. And so obviously things that you were probably looking for were like a flat block, enough width on either side, I guess.
Exactly.
You could do those extensions. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So we had, I think it was 7 meters to our boundary on one side. So we knew we could get in a double garage. We've built to the boundary on that side. We're on a corner block, so we've got plenty of room on the other side. It's a completely flat block. My husband's request was that there were no tiles throughout the house, because he didn't want to have to rip them all up. So this house was lino and carpet everywhere, which we like, thanks the gods for. Yeah. It was very easy to remove. The only tiles he had to rip up was in the existing bathroom, so that wasn't too bad. But yeah, apart from that, it just kind of ticked our boxes in terms of location on the block, but also in the area.
And nice one. And so if you were looking at the total project that you want to complete, how far along would you say you are?
We're very close, actually.
Yeah?
My husband will disagree. We have very different ideas of how close we are to finishing. He thinks the fact that like the skirting boards in our house aren't painted is a massive deal. I think like I could live with that for another year before I even worry about it. No, so pretty much all we have left internally are a few touch-ups, really, a little bit of painting. Our electrical fit-off just got finished today. So we have air cons in time for summer.
Woohoo!
Oh, very happy so about good.
That's like a must-have up that way, isn't it?
Oh, God, yeah. We actually lived without electrical in this house. when I say electrical, we had our electrician come and hook up one fan in our bedroom.
Ooh.
And I think we had about 3 lights throughout the whole house. And oh my everything God. Else was run on like extension cords from like one PowerPoint that worked. We didn't have fans. We didn't have air cons. It was literally like people would come over and trades would get here and they'd be like, oh, you're here. Like you're on site really early. And I'm like, no, we live here. And they're so shocked. They're like, why are you living here?
Oh my goodness.
So it definitely, yeah, it was fun times. So now I feel like we're really close to finishing because, you know, we have so many of these luxuries that we didn't have for so long.
Yeah.
But we're almost ready just to move outside and sort of do our landscaping and our outdoor areas, and our inside is really just needs furniture.
Yeah, nice. And so with the interior, was there certain areas you decided to kind of splurge on a little bit, or what? How did you sort of manage that process and the decision making?
Our kitchen was always going to be our splurge. When I say splurge, I definitely still made very cost efficient decisions. And I think having that background in construction, I guess, probably helps with that, that you don't always have to spend a lot to get, you know, a really nice looking product at the end. And I think that's like a common misconception that people have. I think, you know, I've seen kitchens that probably cost 4 to 5 times what ours do. And I'd, you know, I might be biased, but I'd pick ours.
Yeah,
me too. I love your kitchen.
But yeah, so the kitchen was always, I guess, a focus. A lot of the other bedrooms in that, you know, we've kept quite simple. You know, we've got vinyl flooring, which sounds very old school, but vinyl flooring these days is absolutely awesome. And a few other areas, not so much specific rooms, but we definitely wanted to incorporate some cladding on our walls just to give it a bit more interest in that. And that's really, everything else has been quite low budget, to be honest, in our house. So it's just taking the extra time, I think, is what we really focused on finding. I would sort of put my dream mood board together and then find every way to pick it apart and make it cheaper, but still make it what I wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so what do you use for your mood boarding? Like, is it just a straight Pinterest? Because I don't know if you're watching the block. I've noticed that Jasmine, same name on the block, seems to use that tool. I don't even know what it's called. We'll find it and we'll put it in the show notes. But it seems really useful to like use that as like your complete mood boarding.
Yeah, I've seen the one that she's using and it does look really good. I mean, I started a Pinterest board years ago for our dream house, as I'm sure everybody does have. I'm pretty sure I have about 4,000 pins in it last time I checked. So
same,
not very well organized.
Same.
It's just kind of like a dump. And every time I think I've seen that before, I have to scroll through like 4,000 images to find that reference image that I had in my head. So, you know, it definitely started with that. I started using Style Sourcebook, which isn't an app, it's an online website, more so for furniture, just because it's a site that has like a bunch of furniture from retailers preloaded onto it. And you can like drag them in and sort of make a mood board, but then you can also upload your own finds if, you know, they don't have it there. And then earlier in the year, I did the online masterclass with the design school. And with that, we got a bunch of Canva templates to use for mood boarding.
So good.
Yeah, that was really good. I actually kind of combine a bit of the both of them just because I'm, you know, a perfectionist like that. And one or the other doesn't really suit me perfectly. So I do them both.
And so like even looking back in your 4,000 pins on Pinterest, has your style sort of evolved over the last few years? And how did that sort of translate into the house? Or was it always timber and white?
It definitely was always timber and white. That was the common denominator. And that's why I guess they were the two things we were able to really grasp onto and hold for the renovation. Because when I looked back over years, it was the thing that we were always drawn to. So we didn't want to get caught up in trends or whatnot. And I've actually had pins on my Pinterest board that I've pinned over and over again, and I see them in there and it tells me like, oops, you've pinned this before.
Yeah.
And you know, I pinned it 4 years ago, and I think, well, if I liked that 4 years ago and I'm still looking at that today going, I really like that, then that's our style, you know. Yeah. Like, it won't date for us. It's going to be timeless. It's going to be something that we're always going to enjoy. What did evolve, I guess, for us is everyone wants you to put a label on your style. You know, what kind of home are you building?
Mm-hmm.
And at the start, I didn't really know. I used to tell everyone we were going for a modern coastal look because, you know, we're in Cairns. Everyone assumes we live by the beach, which we certainly don't. As you would have seen, yeah, in my recent photos, we live at the bottom of a huge mountain.
Yeah.
You know, we're not near the beach, but you know, we definitely do have that coastal lifestyle and that tropical, you know, climate. And obviously we wanted it modern. So I thought, oh, I'll call our style modern coastal. And every time I saw a modern coastal house, I didn't like it.
Yeah.
I was like, that is not our style. Like, yeah. I don't like shells, you know, like I don't like,
yeah, blue. Yeah.
There's all these sort of boxes that I'm not ticking going, well, what is my style? Do I actually have to define it, or can I just do whatever the heck I want to do?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And again, during the online masterclass is when I had the light bulb moment. We were doing a module on defining your style, and there were a bunch of different sort of options just to sort of, not to say you needed to fall into one of these boxes, but, you know, to give inspiration for, if you generally like these kind of things, you know, you might more be drawn more to industrial or Scandi or whatnot. And there was one style called California Cool. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, yes,
that's me.
Style. Like, yeah, everything about it. Like, we've been to California before. It was funny because, you know, we've traveled a fair bit of America. And when we got to Southern California, we instantly said to each other, we're walking down the street in, like, I don't know, Santa Monica or something like that. And we said, this place feels so much like home. There's, yeah, actually like so many similarities between, yeah, Queensland and Southern California. So as soon as I saw that, I was like, you know, we've got the same climate. So therefore homes are sort of built and designed the same kind of way. Cause you know, we're, mm-hmm, all looking for breezes and light and airy and that kind of thing. It never gets cold. So we don't have fireplaces. We don't, you, yeah, know, have dark and moody furniture. Everything's light and bright. So that's what really evolved for us, because as soon as I could grab onto that, everything else became really easy to sort of decide from there, because I was like, would I want to see this in a cool house in, you know, Santa Monica? Yes, I would.
Yeah.
Bring it in.
That's so good. Oh my gosh. So the masterclass that you've spoken about a couple of times, what other insights did you take away from that? I'm sure there were hundreds that you can't, you know, we wouldn't want you to be sharing, yeah, with us. But is there any sort of real things that hit you and was something that you really took away?
One of the biggest things that I took away from it, which was just mind-blowing, because as soon as you learn it, you're looking everywhere, you know, like those things that you never look at something the same again. And it was the module on lighting and like specialty, mm-hmm, lighting, and not just throwing, yeah, 40 downlights in your house that, you know, are so bright that you either have the option of just having on or off and sort of no in between, and just creating layers of lighting in your house to create different moods. Unfortunately for us, we already had the 40 downlights in our ceiling.
Yeah.
In this home alone the day that our electrician came over to install them and just kind of said, put them everywhere.
Yeah.
But again, the beauty for us was we could call our electrician back and say, okay, well, we might already have all these downlights. I want to add more layers of lighting so that when I don't want all the downlights on, I have options. So yeah, while we didn't quite perfect it, because we were a little bit later on in the piece to be able to incorporate it probably to the capacity that I would have loved now, knowing everything that I know,
mm-hmm,
you know, we were able to add some pendants, some dimmable spotlights, some nice bedside lights. I always hated lamps until I did this lighting module and now I'm like the lamp queen. So I'm like, okay, in all the rooms we couldn't add feature lighting, we'll just put lamps.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good. Nice one. And so it sounds like you would have learned so, so much from that. And I know, as we touched on before, I have learned myself just a lot from watching your journey. What would you say if you were talking to a friend that had never, ever done any renovating and they were looking to start out, what would sort of your advice be to them? What, you know, are the top things that you'd say from your experience and from what you've seen that you need to be really careful with when you're starting a renovation?
It's probably very cliche because everyone says the same thing, but the more you can plan before you start, the smoother everything is going to go. We made the mistake of leaving a lot of things to make decisions as we were going, which is kind of what we always wanted to do, but it also did present a lot of hiccups along the way because we hadn't made those decisions by the time came. So planning is just like the be all and end all, I think, of doing a renovation.
Mm-hmm.
For us, and this would be different if you were doing it to flip, but for us, it was really important to live in it first to be able to assess what actually needed to be touched in the house and what was completely fine as it was and just needed, you know, a coat of paint or whatever. I think if you just jump straight in and don't get to know the space, which again, if you're flipping, you know, you're all about quick, efficient, get in and get it done. And, you know, it's more about the real estate photos you're going to get at the end of it. But yep. For us, because we were living in it ourselves, we really wanted to make sure the livability of it was perfect. I always say the little things like, we know where the sun hits in every room. We know where the breeze comes from at certain times of the day. And we know all those things because we lived in here first and we were able to make decisions around those tiny little details, which is why we loved the house. So while we were going to put a window somewhere, we realized, oh, that window would be completely pointless because we actually don't get any sun or breeze through there. You know, we're able to make a feature of that wall in another way and put a window somewhere else where it actually is going to make impact. So for us, yeah, I think just living in the space and getting to know it was something that was really important for us. And definitely if you have the time to be able to sit and marinate your ideas like that, that's something that I would definitely recommend.
Yeah, definitely. That's great advice. I mean, we've kind of done that, probably sitting a bit too long.
That is the trap you can fall into. I know, I completely get that.
Yeah, we're 3 years in, so not sure when we're actually going to ever start, but totally, right. Yeah.
Your ideas will be so clear by the time you get to it, you'll just smash it out.
That's true. That's very true.
Yeah, I just have 1,000 Pinterest boards. 1,000 more.
Yes. Well, when you said 4,000 before, I was like, oh God, I'm so embarrassed to say I've probably got about 10,000 pins. And it's all different styles too. But I totally agree. I think if you're sort of staying or looking to stay and renovate to stay, you obviously want to make it perfect for you
exactly.
And your family and whatever your plans are for the long term as well. So
aesthetics are one thing, but livability is really what makes a place feel like home. Like going back to our kitchen, we thought about every little thing. Like I was measuring the height of bottles of sauce because I knew that's, you know, the shelf in the pantry that they were going to go in. I was measuring the heights of my appliances because I was making a drawer for them to go in, you know, just all these little things that now when we're in there cooking, everything is so easy and everything flows because we took that time to really plan it and think about how we live. And that's the other thing, like everyone will always have opinions to give you, or you know, you'll see someone else's house that you just think is divine, but everyone lives so differently that you can't just take someone else's perfect and it's, you know, that's not going to make it your perfect because you might live completely differently.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Yeah, totally get that.
So let's talk about this kitchen that you have built and designed from scratch, like the entire whole thing. You've drawn yourself, you've measured where sauce bottles go. Like it's a work of art, I think. But how did you come up with sort of the concept that you wanted? Did you specifically design it with that space in mind? Or did you sort of really customize it to just what you guys wanted to have in there and what you'd seen from your Pinterest boards and those sort of things?
Yeah, we really just started with, like everyone does, I guess, a wish list of all the things we wanted to include in there from a functionality point of view. We always knew we wanted like a little appliance cupboard / breakfast bar that we can hide all our appliances away in. we like a very clean bench top. So we've literally got our cupboard that hides everything. We close it and there's nothing left on the bench. So that was probably our main wish list item. And then from there, once we had our layout worked out, we just went into how it was going to look. And of course, as my husband says, I always want to do things the different way, or, you know, he would say the more difficult way. So I thought, well, everyone does the shaker profile. It is really not quite this style of house to me. It is that modern coastal, which we weren't going for. We determined that. So we decided to go for the thinner shaker profile, which people call quarter line, or, you know, there's a bunch of different names for it, but essentially it's just a smaller shaker profile. So we went with that. We absolutely loved it. We still haven't got handles on any of our cupboards or anything like that, because again, that'll probably take me about another year to decide on.
That's right. Good things take time.
That's yeah. Right.
And so that's all two-pack, which was sort of our splurge, which was our custom profile and our two-pack paint finish to our back wall of the kitchen. So again, like I said earlier, you know, we have always tried to make cost-efficient decisions. So because we had that sort of little splurge for our island bench, then we just wanted to go to a timber look laminate, which is what we did. We've got a Polytech color there and it looks amazing. Everyone that comes in comments on it, it suits our floors beautifully. And again, that's just like a flat profile, completely off the shelf Polytech color. Again, like with the vinyl flooring that they make these days look so realistic, all of the timber look laminates that Laminex and Polytech are coming out with these days are just, you know, you can't really beat them for the price you pay. A bit of a balance. So we had that splurge and we had that saving, and all together it kind of ties in to give what I think is a really beautiful looking space.
Oh, it is. You are going to be added to all my boards now. I'm like, yeah. Oh yes, this. It's very similar to a couple I've already got on there that you know, aren't at all your complete style, but just like that thinner shaker profile is so cool and just so different as you said to what everyone else is doing, but I love it. So good.
Yeah. So currently we're just finishing up the tiling. So we're tiling the back of our island bench, which is something that isn't done very often, but I think I saw it on a kitchen and just completely fell in love with it. And again, that was one of our splurges. We got these handmade Japanese mosaics, which were a ridiculous amount per square meter. But the good thing was, in a kitchen, you need so few of them. So I think we have 3.5 square meters. And it just makes the world of difference. Like, they are absolutely amazing. They make it feel so luxurious. Yeah. So it's just those little things where you can spend money, but it's in a small area and it's going to make such a difference. Like, that's where we really focused our investments on, instead of rooms as a whole or anything like that.
Yeah. Nice one.
That's amazing. I was just thinking though, Jasmine, would you ever do this again? Like, would you ever renovate again?
We've already talked about it. We definitely would. We wouldn't live in it. That's probably the one thing I don't think we would ever do again. We thought we were going to save so much money by living in it without having to rent at the same time. But truth be told, it just took us a lot longer to do everything because we were constantly shuffling stuff from room to room because, you know, we were still trying to live here. So we'd have trades coming, we'd have to like take our bed apart before they got there at 7 o'clock in the morning and
painful,
you know, stuff like that. It was just so painful. So we definitely, you know, we'd love to reno again. We'd definitely love to flip houses at some point in the future. We have applied for the block for like the millionth time.
I was just about to ask you that. I was like, this is such a timely question.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, how exciting.
It would all be very much better to be doing a renovation with someone else's money.
Yes.
Because that's the least, you know, I would live through another reno happily if someone else was paying the bill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, and you guys different. Would be perfect for the show.
Yes, 100%. So the last thing I want to touch on, and feel free not to share with us and keep it a surprise, but what's next? You talked about going outside. Do you have big plans for the landscaping and what you're going to do on the block?
I wish we could say we had big plans, but we have no budget.
The worst part.
And that's the reality. Everyone always says that landscaping is such an important part, but no one ever budgets for it. And it's so true. Mm-hmm. Like, we had a budget throughout our whole build and nothing outside of the house was allowed for. So, you know, we just poured 100 square meters of driveways and paths that we didn't budget for. We've just started putting up our alfresco structure, which, you know, makes our whole outdoor area, which we didn't budget for. We have no plants. Our whole yard is just dirt and grass. So, you know, we have a lot of plants that need to go in, but there's definitely, it's going to be a long work in progress. It'll probably take just as long as the reno did to actually do the externals, just yep. because our budget does need to recover from that.
Yep, 100%. And plants are so expensive. Oh my goodness. When I went to Bunnings the other day, and I have now started a nursery in my backyard because I found out that those snake plant things, they were like $85 for three of them. I'm like, I have a whole garden full. I'm a millionaire.
You can't sell them.
Yeah, I will. To you. Yeah. Katie, do you want some plants?
Look, my neighbor has them that block our house and theirs, and I'm sort of, you know, a little bit over them. Don't need any more.
Are you sure? They're really nice.
Positive. If you have an olive tree, swing that my way. I'm looking for one at the moment.
Oh, they're so nice.
I'm also nowhere near patient enough to like buy the little plants and wait for them to watch grow.
Them grow.
I want like instant satisfaction. Give me like the 2 meter high plants, please.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Well, thank you so, so much for coming to join us today. Like, it has been a pleasure, and I know I've learned a lot as well, and loved getting to know the people behind the reno. So we'll pop it in our show notes, but where can people find you?
You can find me at Timber and White on Instagram.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm sure we'll be hitting up each other's DMs very soon.
Oh, yeah. So much to talk about. Thanks,
always.
Guys.
Thanks, bye. Jasmine.
See ya.
Thank you for tuning into today's episode. If you liked it, don't forget to hit subscribe and share the episode with your reno friends.
If you're looking for like-minded people, come and join us in our private Facebook group. Or follow us on the gram at renovating_Australia. See you next time.